You can support Makeshift Stories by heading over to patreon.com/makeshiftstories, where, for $2 a month, you can become a friend of the podcast, and we'll give you a shout-out at the beginning of an episode when you sign up. You can also become a supporter for $5 a month, and we'll also list you as a supporter on our website. Your contributions will help us offset our monthly operating costs and give us the resources we need to continue to create original stories twice a month. Thanks for listening and helping us out.
Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Join us on a journey into the improbable.
Today's story, episode 251, Unlicensed Appearance, read by Mitchell Two. Opening and closing theme by Matthew Erdman. Somewhere and sometime, you might lose the right to use your identity. Maxima watched with interest as a young version of herself did a backflip over a charging SUV, then landed on the road behind it and reached out with elastic arms to grab the bumper. As if it had hit an invisible wall, the vehicle screeched to an immediate halt. Two villains poured out onto the asphalt, looking dazed. Then the crippled SUV exploded. The scene froze, and the name Muon, with a small trademark symbol animated on top, and flashed along with the dates of the comic festival and the hashtag Muon in person. The display moved on to another ad for some new star from a sci-fi franchise she had never heard of. Maxima didn't remember shooting the scene, but decided it had to be from her last movie, 28 years ago, Muon Revenge. Before its release, Maxima had quietly split with the studio and headed to a remote part of New Zealand to tuck herself safely away from a world she believed was on its way to ruin. However, the apocalypse hadn't happened yet, and with her bank account looking a little too lean for comfort, she had been tempted out of her exclusive bolt hole to make a lucrative amount of cash for an appearance at the con. The video was projected on a large temporary hollow screen floating between the metal-clad pillars of the International Arrival Hall. There had been no way to miss it, making Maxima wonder if the conference organizers had somehow timed the display to show her ad as she made her way out of arrivals to the ground transport area. It was a nice thought, but realistically, she wondered if anyone even remembered Muon. There had only been two movies, and they were decades old now. She involuntarily groaned when she saw the crowded taxi stand. There had been a time when she looked forward to the adulation and would have gone into character and planted herself in the middle of a mob of fans, soaking up their enthusiasm. But today, she tensed up at the thought of all the potential diseases the crowd might be carrying and pulled down her hat so no one would recognize her. She stopped a few meters from the back of the group and looked around for the ride the con organizers had sent for her. A modest, black, self-driving sedan with a 3D con logo projected over its roof was parked at the far end. Giving the crowd a wide berth, she approached it. Maxima felt relief wash over her when no one in the mob of excited young people recognized her. Even the cab refused to allow her access until she swiped her con badge over the door sensor. The closest kid noticed the car admit her and tried to peer in to see which VIP it might contain. Obviously disappointed at the sight of an old person in the back seat, they turned back to their friends. As the cab pulled out into traffic, Maxima caught a glimpse of herself reflected in the shatterproof windscreen. The face that looked back was almost a stranger. No wonder the kids at the airport hadn't recognized her. three decades of exposure to the elements at her remote South Island property had slowly eroded her skin from airbrushed smooth to windswept rough. Maxima had once toyed with the idea of anti-aging treatments, but didn't want to end up looking like her face was stretched so tight it would split if she smiled. Avoiding the pressure to look young forever and ruining her health to achieve it was the other reason she had bugged out in the first place. The studio had dropped hints that, as a personality approaching her mid-30s, it was time for a tune-up, which Maxima refused to do. Her sudden decision to leave hadn't gone down well. The studio threatened several lawsuits until she had agreed to sign a non-disclosure agreement about her departure. So, Maxima discreetly sold everything, unplugged from the internet, and the insanity of the first half of the 21st century, and moved to her isolated New Zealand compound. "Take the road along the harbor," Maxima instructed the car's autopilot, then sat back and watched the new seawall slide by. The last time she had been at the con, she could see the docks at the harbor. If they still existed, they were now hidden behind 2 meters of mud-gray concrete put in place to prevent the rising waters and storm surges from washing the road away. Improvised tents made from blue and orange tarpaulins clung to the seawall side like barnacles. People tended makeshift fire pits, and laundry hung on crudely strung lines between lampposts. Piles of discarded plastic containers and garbage threatened to spill out into the lane closest to the wall. The auto cab suddenly sped up to make the green light at an intersection, which was particularly crowded in by the homeless encampments. The convention center seemed like something dropped in from another reality. The streets around it had been meticulously scrubbed and cleared of anyone who looked down and out. Upscale people milled around the colorful umbrellas of the street vendors, while a few cosplayers chatted and posed for pictures. However, there were far fewer than she remembered 3 decades ago. Maxima thought she spotted someone in a Mulan costume stroll by as the auto cab slid up to the main entrance and stopped. The door popped open with a hiss of escaping air-conditioned atmosphere, and Maxima stepped out into the heat. She was greeted by a confused-looking young man wearing a con staff badge who checked the back of the cab as if he was expecting another person to get out. "No, I'm the only person in there," Maxima joked and presented her lanyard to the man, who read it twice, glancing between her and the name on the plastic card several times. "You're Maxima Jackson?" He seemed surprised, and she had to admit, disappointed. "Yes," Maxima confirmed, lifting her bag out of the trunk of the cab, which left as soon as she had hefted it out onto the asphalt. The man still seemed unconvinced of her identity, so she dug around in her bag until she found the letter from the conference organizers inviting her and presented it to him. He turned the piece of paper over, looking at its back, then read the front again, as if he had never seen such a thing before. "That's what's called a letter," Maxima said sarcastically. "My place is off the grid. One of the advantages of snail mail is that it doesn't need the internet to work." The youth finally shrugged and handed the letter back. "Guess I should take you in through the VIP entrance," he said, not sounding very convinced he was doing the right thing. He turned and started walking away. Maxima set her heavy bag on its wheels and began pushing it along. The small wheels almost immediately got stuck in the seams of the faded red concrete sidewalk blocks. The kid, she guessed he might have been in his late teens, looked back impatiently. "Why don't you just use follow mode?" he suggested. "The button is usually on the top, near the handle. It'll navigate around the cracks on its own and catch up with you when it can." "It's just a dumb, use your muscles to move it, suitcase," Maxima noted sarcastically as she twisted and jerked the case to dislodge it from a particularly deep crack. She noted the kid didn't offer to help. he took them past several hall entrances until they came to a cordoned-off door with security guarding it. The kids simply walked in. Maxima was asked to scan her pass several times. Each guard looked at her critically. One even checked a tablet, then squinted at her, making a note in some unseen file before finally nodding Maxima through. Inside, another staffer showed her where to check her bag, then led her past a long line of bored-looking cosplayers. "What are they lined up for?" Maxima asked. "Oh, just costume licenses." The staffer, a 20-something wearing a con t-shirt and black jeans, scoffed, as if that should have been self-evident. "What?" The woman stopped and glared at Maxima in disbelief. "If you make a costume of a copyrighted character, like that Electra over there, you need to pay a license fee to appear at the con. Some people sneak in then change in a washroom so they don't have to pay, but the studios watch out for that kind of thing through the CCTV system. They flag offenders and have security nab them." She looked at Maxima's gray-streaked hair. "Guess you haven't been to a con recently. Come on, I'm supposed to get you to the autograph area." The woman led Maxima up a set of escalators, then turned right down a hall. Holographic screens sprouted from the ceiling like stalactites, each promoting a star available for autographs. Her own ad was a 3D image she hadn't remembered the studio making, but it had to have been scanned before she left. Even if she had done the plastic surgery and anti-aging treatments, she would have looked older than the person floating overhead. Was that who Muon fans expected? She wondered, and for the first time, started to get self-conscious of her age. It would be her first public appearance in 30 years, and she didn't want to disappoint the fans who still remembered her. They entered a large space with a tented fabric roof and glass walls. It reminded Maxima of an airport departure lounge. She noted the long line snaking through a maze of stanchions linked by waist-high blue ropes, waiting for the area to open. Her guide directed her away from the line and hustled her around a blue curtain barrier where another staffer was waiting. The staffer, with a name tag pasted to his t-shirt, looked concerned. "Where is she?" he complained. "She's scheduled to start signing in 5 minutes." The woman, who had brought Maxima, pointed to her defensively. "Joel, she claims she's Maxima Jackson. She's got the pass we sent, the invitation letter, and it's her name on her passport." "But," Joel started to object. "But what? You both think I'm too old to be Muon, don't you?" Maxima growled, feeling her blood pressure begin to rise. "People age, kid. Haven't you heard? Time is a river, and you can't swim upstream." She was getting angry. "If you don't believe me, wait 30 years and look in the mirror." Joel stared at her in confusion. "But in your last movie, you looked the way I always do, tough and beautiful, with an edge of the dangerous, and that doesn't go away with age. I still know and practice all the martial arts moves. You never lose that. In a second, I could have you flat on your back, begging for mercy."
"Maybe you can, but the fans are not here to watch an angry senior beat up a staffer." The voice came from the dark shadows behind them.
All three spun around to see four men in business suits approach. One was pulling a cart with a portable holographic projector and what looked like a robotic arm.
"Lucas, go around front and start setting up. I'll handle things here," the middle-aged man who was leading the group said to the one pulling the cart.
Joel moved to block Lucas before he got through the curtain.
"Stop. We already have someone here claiming to be Maxima Jackson. Who are you?"
"That old lady's not Maxima," the middle-aged man sneered. "Ms. Jackson is in our Tokyo studio shooting her next flick. She regrets she didn't have time to come in person, but she'll do the next best thing and telepresence in for autographs and the panel. You'll just need to let Lucas there do his job and set up. She'll be signing autographs using a remote hand. It's the next best thing to being here in person." Joel began talking into a handheld radio. "There's been a mix-up," the man continued. Ms. Jackson hasn't agreed to a public appearance in years. It's well known she has a phobia about crowded public places. All our sets have to be closed, you know. That's part of her contract. We had to talk her into doing this, and given her reclusive nature, it wasn't easy. But she had little choice. The man glared at Maxima. She walked up to the man, challenging him. Maxima had always been tall and knew how to use her height to physically intimidate jerks in suits. But the man held his ground.
I'm Maxima Jackson. I was invited to appear here. Who are you?
She shoved her passport into the frustratingly smug man's face. He waved it aside without looking at it. I'm Owen Marshall, legal counsel for Yenta's Wild Studios, and there's been a mistake. Some ill-informed person at this festival didn't follow protocol and contact us directly about Ms. Jackson. Marshall glared angrily at Joel. We handle all her communications. Obviously, the invitation was sent to the wrong place. So no, you weren't invited. Muon and Maxima, the actor, were. Both are our trademarked properties, which means only we can authorize their use. So, it doesn't matter who your passport says you are. You can't go out there unless we agree to it. And we haven't. Marshall tried to herd Maxima away. Lowering his voice, he added, Look, we need to talk. Yentas can't afford to have you tarnish the Muon franchise.
You mean you don't want an old person associated with the brand? Maxima yelled.
Shh, please, we should keep this private.
I don't care if anyone overhears us. This is ridiculous. You can't take my identity away, and you can't tell me what to do.
Owen slid a tablet out of his jacket and thumbed it on. We can, and are. Yentas owns your likeness, voice, and signature.
That's not true,
Maxima protested. Marshall smiled and showed her a document on his tablet. See, that's your signature. You forfeited your rights to them when you skipped out on your contract 28 years ago. Why do you think the studio let you go without suing you for breach of contract? You had signed on for 5 films and only completed 2. Muon Revenge was a huge financial success. People wanted more. But you had dropped off the edge of the world and made it very clear you wanted nothing to do with the studio or the character. Yentas considered replacing you, but Maxima and Muon were too closely tied. They owned your likeness, so Yentas did the next best thing and used it. All the sets were closed, and the other actors and crew paid off and threatened to keep quiet. At first, a body double played your part and was replaced in post by a deep fake. But, you know, AI has improved so much that we don't even need to do that anymore. The body double's voice and image is replaced in real time as we shoot. No one ever noticed, except the critics. Some of them thought your acting had actually improved. Marshall laughed. They could have made you good enough to win an Oscar, but they didn't want that much attention on your off-screen persona. So, the studio came up with a cover story. Maxima developed a phobia about public appearances. I understand that's not too far from the truth. A little bit of gentle aging over the years, so no one would suspect. And now our Maxima looks like a young 40-something when she's not in character. And bingo, everyone was happy, as long as you stayed in your rabbit hole.
How many?
Maxima asked incredulously.
How many what?
Movies. How many movies have you made without me?
Marshall had to pause to think. 12 in the original series, 3 in the revival, then there are the spin-offs, cartoons, books, action figures, that sort of thing. Muon is one of the studio's largest franchises, so, you see, we can't allow you to meet the public. Besides, if you do, we'd have to sue you for copyright infringement.
I don't look anything like your CG puppet, Maxima complained.
But you do.
Owen swept his finger across his tablet screen and laughed.
Look, we anticipated a moment like this. It's an aged image of you. Our AI made it. Now, tell me that doesn't look like you. We made sure that we own all your derivative likenesses. So if you cooperate and disappear back into your bolt hole, we won't come after you for infringement. If you don't, you'll have to get a new face. He grinned. And I know you don't have the money or stomach for that.
Muon is now available through telepresence
to sign autographs. The public announcement distracted Owen, allowing Maxima to dart around him and push her way through the blue curtain wall to the public side.
"Wow, I'm finally here!"
she yelled to the waiting crowd. Only a few turned to see what was going on.
"It's me, Maxima. I'm back."
When no one reacted, Maxima looked over to the next table, where the hollow projector had been set up. A girl in her teens was smiling and talking to a younger Maxima projected behind the desk. The robotic arm mimicked the virtual Maxima's gestures, autographing a t-shirt.
"What would you like it to say?"
the fake Maxima asked. Anger overwhelmed the real Maxima, and she hopped over the waist-high blue cloth barrier between the tables. Before the surprised Yenta's techs could stop her, she kicked over the projector and swept the robotic arm off the table. The teenager, who had been getting an autograph, lurched backward to avoid being hit by the machine arm as it clattered to the floor. She grabbed her t-shirt and ran. Maxima sat down at the desk, straightened her clothes, and smiled.
"Now who's next?" she called out.
The people standing at the front of the line looked frightened. No one moved.
"I am Maxima. That thing is just an imposter the studio made to replace me."
She pointed to the hollow projector lying on its side. The frozen younger version of her, mouth open in mid-sentence, was smeared across the concrete floor.
"Come on, I'm the one you came to meet," she encouraged.
"What's with the crazy old lady?"
someone further back in the line yelled.
"She thinks she's Maxima,"
a man at the front replied. A few people laughed.
"Look at me. I am Maxima," Maxima demanded. "What do you think I should look like after 30 years? We all get old, but I'm still the same person. The studio has been feeding you lies. I'm the real Muon, and I'm here to sign autographs for you."
Two security guards came up beside Maxima and pulled her out of the chair. She decided it was pointless struggling and let herself be manhandled out of the booth. As they escorted her away, she heard Ayenta's minion apologizing for the disruption.
"Maxima is still in our Tokyo studio. She told us she's willing to continue and apologizes for you having to experience such an ugly incident. To compensate, autographs will be 50% off, and Maxima will stay for an extra 15 minutes. Just give us a bit of time to get the connection up and running again."
Marshall stopped the guards once they had hauled Maxima behind the curtains.
"What did you expect?" he asked her, handing Maxima a mask. "Use this to cover that face, unless you're willing to pay the license fee. Now get out of here."
Remembering a move she had learned for her last movie, Maxima spun around and kicked Owen in his solar plexus, knocking the man off his feet. "Bet your virtual Muon can't do that," she laughed and walked away, dropping the mask on the floor. Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. To get other great APN podcasts, head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com, where you'll find Three Kitchens. Three pals get together every Tuesday to share recipes, tips, and kitchen adventures. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. Alberta Blue Cross understands that running a small business is tough, and they understand that business owners in Alberta are busy. Let Alberta Blue Cross give you peace of mind with a group benefit plan. They offer health, dental, life, and disability coverage for your employees. Alberta Blue Cross group benefit plans are easy to manage anywhere, anytime, and on any device, making it easy for you and your employees to access. To learn more and explore your options, head to ab.bluecross.ca. This episode of Makeshift Stories is also brought to you by Connect First Credit Union.
Welcome to Super Typical Mega Bank. How can we disappoint you today?
Hi, I'd like to open an account.
May I pressure you into considering a pro disadvantage, high regret, impersonal, everyday inconvenient savings plan with added compounded confusion at no additional discount or apology? It's one of our top disappointers.
I feel so...
disappointed?
Yeah.
Another unsatisfied customer. Next!
If your bank makes you feel like this, it's time you talk to us. Connect First Credit Union. Bank on a brighter future.
Makeshift Stories is released around the beginning and middle of the month. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by Matthew Erdman. Audio production and editing by Makeshift Studios. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by getting your friends to subscribe or follow wherever they listen to audio. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.